And if the Lord this week has made a way, has performed a miracle, has been your light in the darkness, this is why we come together on Sundays, to worship and celebrate his work in our lives. Praise be to the Lord. As we continue together this morning in worship, we're going to turn to God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, please open them. We're looking at, we're continuing in our study of 1 Thessalonians. And what a great opportunity for me to just encourage you, to challenge you this year to bring your Bibles back to church. Hey, wherever it is, let's bring our Bibles back to church so that we have them every Sunday. It is great to have the words on the screen, but it's also great to have our Bibles in our hands, isn't it? Can I get it? Amen. I know you agree. God's Word is so awesome. And we're going to continue in this passage today as we look at this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonian church. And before I do that, as you're getting your Bibles open, wherever the kids are, I'm going to get the kids to go to Sunday school. And as the kids are heading off to Sunday school, let me just remind you, when it comes to your Bibles, the world is a very challenging place to live, and I would encourage you not to ever let the world get between you and God's Word. And a day has, well, I was going to say a day has come, that day is already here, when the world will tell you to turn against God's Word. I pray in that moment you will stay true to God's Word. Stand on God's Word. God's Word is a lot more important, more powerful than what man has to say, isn't it? So let's continue to stand on God's Word. Thank you, sister. There's too much out there that says, no, just leave God's Word over there and do what the world says. But no, let's do what God's Word says faithfully until he comes to get us. In fact, our passage today is all about that time when Jesus comes to get us. So let us look to God's Word. I'm going to be reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I love that in our study through this book, that we are in chapter 4. Right after Christmas. Do you see why? We have just celebrated the birth of Jesus, our Savior. His first coming. And in our passage today, we now get to think about when he comes again to remove the church from the earth at the rapture. Great timing, isn't it? It really is. It's great timing because we all need encouragement. We need to remember that the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. And like the new Christians at Thessalonica, to whom Paul writes this letter, sometimes our hopes fade. Sometimes our doubts rise. So why not try Paul's prescription for those dark days? What did he say? What's his prescription? What does he recommend? Well, at the end of the passage I just read, verse 18, what does Paul instruct? He says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is what you must do, Paul says, encourage one another. Did you know words are very powerful? Words, with our words, we have the ability to build one another up. Even this morning, But we also have, with our words, the ability to tear people down. And I'm just as guilty of both. Some weeks are better than others, but you know what I mean. Words are powerful. And Paul's prescription today for us when we're going through those dark days of discouragement is to encourage one another. What words then did Paul have in mind for us to say to each other? And whenever you see in your Bible a verse that says, therefore, you need to always ask, what is it therefore? And then you look back at what the author has just said. So we're going to look back now at what Paul has just said to the early church in Thessalonica about what they need to be encouraged each other with. And may your faith then be encouraged today with what this passage says to us, what God is speaking to us about. And may you hear the word of the Lord more than any other word today. Just what words of encouragement was Paul talking about? Well, I'd like to, in this passage, focus on three strong words of encouragement, and I'm summarizing them as return, reunion, and reach. May you find encouragement in, if not one of those three words, all three of them today. Let's first look at the word return. Return is a strong word of encouragement in our passage today. In verses 16 to 17, Paul teaches us that the Lord himself will come down one day from heaven, and the church will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever, Paul says. And in the Christian faith, this event is called the rapture. And teaching of the rapture is taught not only in this passage, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the rapture is that event we pray will happen today. We don't know when it will happen, but we know that it will happen one day. And the Lord, it's an event where God takes out of the earth all believers in Jesus Christ to make way for his righteous judgment to be poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. Now, the Bible teaches us this event will happen at some time in the future, and it will only affect believers in Jesus Christ. And so at that time of the rapture, believers will all of a sudden disappear, and anyone under the age of 13, I believe as well, because of what they call the age of accountability. So that's babies, children, those, you know, the age of accountability is kind of that 13-ish age range. And we get that from, you know, for Jewish boys becoming a man, it was around that age of 13. So the age of accountability, which has been taught for many, many years, has often been what we come to believe as why people, children, will just also be raptured up, taken from this earth at the time of the rapture. And so the Bible teaches us about this event. Little is known in terms of certain details, but what we do know that those left behind are those who never truly believed in Jesus, those who never accepted his plan of salvation for their life. They'll be left behind, and what will happen also in the timeline of God's detailed end times, as taught in Scripture, is that it will then bring about the rise of the false prophet and the Antichrist, the times of tribulation. But when will the rapture take place? Only God knows the timing. But we do know Christ's coming for his saints is imminent. Imminent. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And I believe the key phrase in that passage is those two words, be ready. Be ready. What will he find? What will Jesus find you doing when he returns? In Jude 21, we hear these words, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait. As you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. May the word of God guide you, direct you, inform you on how you should be living in light of his return. That's a very important theme throughout the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A question that I've already mentioned several times in this series. What will Jesus find you doing when he returns? Now, there was a great greeting amongst believers during the first century when they also believed that Jesus would come any day. And when they saw each other, whether in a greeting of having not seen each other for a while or a farewell, they would often say this word, Maranatha. And perhaps you've used this word in greetings before. In Aramaic, Maranatha is a combination of three words, Mar, which means Lord, and our, and Tha, come. So our Lord, come. Maranatha, that's what it means, our Lord, come. And this was how they would greet each other, and in doing so, keep before themselves the reality that one day Jesus could come at any time. It reflected, this greeting reflected that truth, that promise of God that we are always to keep before us, living with eternity in mind. And so for the believer in Jesus Christ, yes, Christ's return, the rapture is our blessed hope. Paul teaches that in our passage today. In verse 13, Paul makes it clear there are two types of people in this world, those with hope and those without hope. Those with hope are those who have Jesus in their life, born again by the precious blood of Christ spilled for their sins. By faith, we are saved by God's grace. And those that have this hope in Jesus and believe in his resurrection are those that will be taken up and meeting Jesus in the air. It's just amazing, just visualizing what that will look like one day. But those without hope, those are the other people in this world. The second people, they are those without hope. They are people who do not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are those that have rejected the good news. In verse 16, we learn that there will be also about this event an audible signal that prompts Christ's remarkable return. What does Paul say in verse 16? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And so this remarkable return will be heard around the globe. The word translated with a loud command is a military commander's authoritative cry to direct his troops. If you've ever seen that on movies, that officer has to be loud enough so all the troops know what they need to do. And they are under his command. And so this will be the voice of Jesus at that time when he returns, heard all around the globe by believers. You will know. But not just the voice of Jesus will you know clearly, but there will also be the trumpet call as well. And so the rapture, we learn, will not be silent, nor will it be secret to believers, though the vast majority of unbelievers may not understand the sound or its meaning. I've had lots of questions about the rapture. One of them is, will unbelievers hear the voice of Jesus? Will they hear the trumpet call? It's not clear in Scripture what unbelievers will hear. They may hear something, but maybe not. May the reminder then for us today of Christ's imminent return give you encouragement and comfort today, for it is a source of hope and strength as we get closer to that day. So Christ's return, there's that first strong word of encouragement. His return is such a good word for us today. But also the second word of encouragement is reunion. Look at verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Who are the together? Well, look at verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So the second word of encouragement after return is reunion. And I'll get to who that refers to in a moment, but I don't know about you, but I love reunions. I love being able to gather with friends and family I have not seen in a long time. Reunions are always meant to be a joyful occasion. Sometimes they crash and burn. But it's always important that we stay connected and we reunite with one another. Listen, I consider this a reunion, Sunday morning worship time. It is like a reunion, isn't it? Where we can see each other at least, have some type of connection and community. So even being together for worship is like this reunion that we are all familiar with living on earth. But you know what? Nothing on earth will compare to the reunion that we will have with our Christian loved ones who have passed away. What a day that will be. In verse 14, Paul says that again, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So this reunion anticipates both not just a meeting with Christ himself, but a meeting again with those we have loved and lost for a while. And that's what verse 17 alludes to. What encouragement together with them, with the Lord forever. Just think about this. And let your heart be encouraged today because of this truth. This promise that will happen one day. Just imagine the joy of seeing that family member, that husband or wife, that child, that friend whose funeral you attended long ago. What a glorious day it will be when we are reunited with them in Christ. What a joyful reunion when we are joined with Christ and our loved ones in Christ who have gone to heaven before us. So we are therefore not like those who have no God and have no hope. As one Bible teacher has said, the bottom line is this: with Christ in your life, you have an endless hope. But without Christ, you will have a hopeless end. An endless hope or a hopeless end? Which one do you have? And it is never too late to turn to God. I love that about God. He's a God of new beginnings and fresh starts every day. And if you're wondering this morning, what must I do to be saved? The Bible teaches us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Repent of your sins and accept Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Now, the description of Christ's return to gather believers in the air ends in verse 17 with these words, and so we shall be ever with the Lord. This is the ultimate goal of his return. He will come. He will come to bring all believers to be with him permanently. Jesus has promised this to us in John 14, verses 2 to 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. So my prayer for you today is that you will look at your situation, your circumstances through the lens of our ultimate hope in Christ. Again, when you think of the word return, Christ's return, when you think of the word reunion, one day being with our loved ones who have gone on before us, what a day that will be. But it's a reminder to us as well that this world is not our home. We are just passing through. This is not our kingdom. So don't get caught up in the wrong fight. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, to fight the good fight of faith. We are to fight the good fight of faith by seizing hold of every opportunity and trusting in God's all-sufficient grace to bring us through as we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, in anticipation of that fellowship that we will share forever in heaven, Paul instructs us then in verse 18 to start practicing it now. Well, practice what? Therefore, encourage each other with these words. There is encouragement for believers in the words return and reunion. But we are also surrounded by people who are without hope. We are surrounded by people who need encouragement because they're lost. They're searching. They're struggling to make sense of this world, and they're wondering, there's got to be more to life than this. And this leads me to our last and third word of encouragement, and that is the word reach. In order to practice the encouragement that Paul instructs us to do, we have to extend ourselves outward to someone. And that's what the word reach means, to extend oneself. If we truly value the oneness that we all share in our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and if we know that we will all be together, gathered as one when he returns, then let us be willing to look outward and share that hope with others. That's that last word of encouragement for you today. Reach. Now, while we all strive to be more like Christ in our character, and just by looking out this morning at you, I know for many of you, that is your heart's desire, to be more like Christ in your character by following him. But we must not neglect to have the passion of Christ for for souls, especially for the people who are spiritually at this very second dead inside, separated from God because of their sins, without hope and without understanding or knowing that God loves them, that God has a plan for their lives. Let me read to you from Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 43. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to all the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus had the determination to share the gospel with the lost in every city and village. There was an urgency even to his mission to reach the lost. And so we must also have that same intention if we call ourselves followers of Christ. And so where Jesus went, we are to go as well. To who Jesus went to, we are to reach as well. Listen, did you know that God gives you something every day to give to someone? What could that be even today? He could give you more than one thing every day to give to someone. It could be time, it could be kindness, it could be love, it could be even a song. It could be a hug or a phone call. God gives you something every day to give to someone else. I challenge you today to pray about that and to ask God, "God, what do you want me to give to someone today?" Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. Let me also give you another word from Jesus when it comes to reaching the lost. Luke 10, verses 1 to 2. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Here we learn again from the model that Christ sets for himself in his words and in his actions that reaching out to the lost is a natural outflow of our relationship with God. It's in our spiritual DNA when we become followers of Jesus Christ. This life of growing closer to God, but then also of going outward, extending ourselves to reach the lost. We cannot be spending time with God or doing Bible study and praying together, which is all good, without absorbing the heart and passion of Christ. It's all over the Gospels. I think I might have already challenged you this year to just spend time reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and praying that God gives you his heart for the lost as you read over how Jesus gives us the pattern to follow. Jesus ministered to the crowds as well as to the individuals. He went to the people that even the religious leaders of his day didn't go to. That's what I love about Jesus. Some came to him and some he even went to find. He had compassion on all. You know, our love for God, our love for Christ, it does compel us. And I'm sure many of you know what that compelling feels like and when you sense it. But it compels us to reach out with our hearts and with our hands to the lost, to those that are, again, unsaved. We know them in our families. We know them in our neighborhoods. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus has already given believers everything that they need to not only share the good news of the gospel, but also to be effective witnesses of his power, his authority, his mercy, and his love. And so as we go out into the world to tell people about our Savior, we never need to worry about how we will be received, what words to say, or how to say it, because the presence of God has gone before us. Our own testimony of coming to know Jesus speaks volumes, and that's always a great place to start. You never know when you will have the opportunity to share your faith with someone. Colossians 4, verse 6 reminds us, "Let your speech always..." Continually, always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person that asks you about your faith. And spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer and reflecting on God's Word always prepares us to speak about Him to others. That's good encouragement for you as well. And so as a new year begins, would you make it a goal to have conversations during the week with unbelievers about faith, about Christ, about what God has done in your life to help you get to where you are today? Lifting each other up is a powerful demonstration of love. And there are endless ways that we can express this and do this, and I'd love to hear your ideas. Because as a church, we are continually on this journey of learning and praying through how we can reach our lost community for Christ. May the love of God fill you today so that you can share it with others. Like I said earlier, God gives us something every day to give to others. Let's start with our loving words. Let's start with encouragement about Christ's return, about one day being reunited in heaven with our loved ones. But like the new Christians at Thessalonica to whom Paul wrote this letter, sometimes our hope fades and our doubts rise. So will you try Paul's prescription for those dark days? Will you encourage one another with these words? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, for your love for us. We thank you, God, for your mercies which are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And God, Lord, we don't know what this upcoming week holds for us, but we know you do. And so, Lord, as we come before you now in prayer, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be more aware of your leading in our lives. Help us to know, and to as we walk in the Spirit, to know, God, when you are leading us to share our faith with someone in our family, with someone that we work with, someone in our neighborhood. God, help us to continue to know that living for Jesus is about not only spending time with you, but also spending our lives thinking outwardly about those who might have needs around us that we can help with. Again, Lord, you are so good to us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.